Blog Talk Radio.
Wealthy Sisters, the show that features six- and seven-figure earning women of color. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time as Deborah Hardnett, CEO of Deborah Hardnett International and founder of The Professional Black Woman, showcase the triumphant journeys of these powerful sisters. You will be inspired, encouraged, and informed every Monday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 347-838-9278. Today's broadcast is brought to you by www.wealthysisters.com, where the show can be heard 24 hours a day. And now your host, Deborah Hardnett.
Well, hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Wealthy Sisters, sponsored by theprofessionalblackwoman.com, where we celebrate the lives of six- and seven-figure earning women of color. Our purpose is twofold: to inspire and encourage the listening audience, and also we want to edify, promote, acknowledge, and just say thank you to all the sisters for doing big things and in the path for us following. I am Deborah Hardnett, your host, broadcasting live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Today is another fabulous Monday, October 5th, 2009, and we are here every week at the same time, like we said, Mondays at 12 noon Eastern. So please spread the word about all the good news we are sharing today. Well, we all have heard laughter does the heart well. I mean, it does a good medicine like the soul, I'm telling you. It is so important, and even better when you find a person that can make you laugh and make you think at the same time. Well, that is the awesome mantle that our special guest so graciously carries, the lovely actress and comedian, and I might add, humanitarian, Miss Hazelle Goodman. I'm telling you, her background is just so phenomenal. What a powerful story that she has to share with us. She was born in Trinidad, West Indies. Goodman harbored the dreams of a show business career from age six when she saw the film version of The Sound of Music. She spent her formative years in Bedford Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, and in part of Queens as well. And she also has accomplished some major things by going to college and then graduating there at the City College of New York, cum laude, let me say that right. Recognizing the difficulties of being both female and a woman of color, Goodman, inspired by her teacher, Robbie McCauley, began developing the one-person show that we all were able to see on HBO. I mean, what an awesome, awesome thing. And as a matter of fact, she was nominated for two Cable Ace Awards for that show. So we definitely want to learn and hear more about that when we speak with her today. She has received so many accomplishments around the world. She's been acclaimed. She's been in Woody Allen movies, starred on all type of television networks and television shows as well. We are going to take a break, and we are not going to delay this powerful lady from you any longer. Right after we come back, we will be hearing from none other than the lovely Miss Hazelle Goodman.
This segment is sponsored by WillDrake.com. That's www.WillDrake.com. The hot new suspense novel, Bad and Worse, A Tale of Men, published by Carmel Coast Publishing. Sometimes the only way to stop a killer is to love him. Available in stores November 2009. Wealthy Sisters, the show that features six- and seven-figure earning women of color. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time as Deborah Hardnett, CEO of Deborah Hardnett International and founder of The Professional Black Woman, showcase the triumphant journeys of these powerful sisters. You will be inspired, encouraged, and informed every Monday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 347-838-9278. Today's broadcast is brought to you by www.wealthysisters.com, where the show can be heard 24 hours a day. And now your host, Deborah Hardnett.
And yes, yes, we are back and excited to be here. We have the lovely Miss Hazelle Goodman on our show today. Hello, are you there, Miss Hazelle?
I'm here, Deborah. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. We are doing great, doing great. The chat room is jumping off the hook. The phones are ringing here. And it is just an honor to have you on our show today. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, I tell you what, we like to jump right into it because the hour will go by so fast before we know it. And we know there is so much that you have to share with us today. But let's start with that beautiful name of yours, Hazelle. And let me make sure I'm pronouncing it right. Am I?
Oh, you are. You are. You said it beautifully.
You know, because I know we have different areas here. We come from the South, and sometimes we pronounce things like the potato and potato and tomato and tomato.
Right.
So when in Rome, I know sometimes you got to do as the Romans, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, you were right on point. You were right on point.
I love it. Well, tell us, what does Hazelle mean? Do you know, actually?
Well, actually, I don't know what Hazelle means. I just know that my original name is Hazel, H-A-Z-E-L. That's my birth name.
Uh-huh.
And about in the ninth grade of high school, you know, I was doing French, and I would have to put my homework on the board. And after you put your homework on the board, you'd sign your name. And, you know, you would say, je m'appelle, whatever your name was. And so mine was, je m'appelle Hazel. And I just didn't like that. It didn't flow. So I started playing around with it. I added an accent or a goo, an accent, a grave, and my teacher finally said, no, that doesn't work. Just add another L and another E, and you'll have Hazelle. And so when I birthed that name, Je M'appelle, because Je M'appelle Hazelle just had a much nicer flair. And so that's actually how that name came to be for me.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's a beautiful name, and it certainly goes well, I'm sure, for your entertainment purposes as well. Now,
it has a kind of musicality to it.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Now, we were reading that you were originally born in Trinidad, huh?
Right, yeah, that's my birthplace, Trinidad, West Indies, Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a beautiful
place. Sunny island. It is. It's extraordinarily beautiful. They're gearing up now for Carnival, which happens in February. But believe me, they start getting the costumes and the parties and all of that stuff starts happening now.
Oh,
but,
man.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
And I think that's probably why I love the warm weather so much. You know, I crave the heat and bright colors. I love bright colors. And like I was meeting up with a friend yesterday, and she wasn't sure where we were going to meet. She said, but I knew if I saw bright colors, that would be you. So that's my Caribbean heritage in my bones.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah. How was the transition moving into New York then with the weather differences there?
Yeah, well, you know, I came when I was about 8 years old, so it was great for me in that, you know, when you're that age, and I was coming to meet my mom, who was already living here. So I was excited, and I actually came in the wintertime. And so I was properly clothed. You know, my mother had sent down my little outfit and my coat and all of those things that I would need when I got off the plane. So, but it was fascinating, and I liked the cold, and I liked the snow, and, you know, the beauty of it. It was certainly different from the tropics. But, you know, it's interesting. You get a little older and wiser, and then you go, wait a minute, the heat is where I want to be. So, yeah,
definitely.
It was an easy transition.
Well, that's how you know, you really design your life so that you can take advantage of all those great things. You can have a home in your tropics. You can have a home where it's cold in the winter, and you can fly south in the winter.
That's exactly right. That's right.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I love the slogan on your site, prepare yourself to have what you want to have. What was the meaning behind that when you put that on there? Explain that to us.
Yeah, happily. I would certainly love to. You know, I think that so often, you know, people dream, right? We have dreams, you have desires, you have things that you want to achieve and want to accomplish. And that's great, and that's important. But a lot of times we don't make room for it in our lives. And I study metaphysics as well. And the metaphysical teachings, you know, are teachings that really help us to understand how the universe works, right, and how to be in synchronicity with the universe, with all, with nature, and with all that is, and that our thoughts, you know, that our thoughts create so much of our reality, so that when you think positively, and I'm not just speaking of thinking positively in a Pollyanna way, But when you do make the effort to look at the bright side of things or to find a way to flip things around, you will begin to notice that, you know, your life starts to change. Stuff starts to happen. Things start to line up. It doesn't mean you don't have challenges, but they don't take you under, right? And so preparing yourself to have what you want to have is a part of that thinking. So, for example, I remember when I was a child, my mother, who, you know, has been instrumental in my thinking this way, but I remember when I was a child, she told me a story of a young woman, a mother, a single mom, who lived in an apartment by herself and wanted her little daughter to learn how to play the piano, right? But, you know, she didn't have enough money for it. And so what she did, using the same kind of principle, metaphysical principle, or just lining up with God, if you will, they made a room in the house for the piano. Yeah. And so every time people would come and say, you know, well, why you got that big space over there? You know, and the little girl would say, we're getting ready for my piano. My piano's coming. You know, because you know how children are. They're easy to open up and to believe, right? And to dream. And shortly after that, you know what happened? A friend of the mother's was working for some folks who were moving to Florida and wanted to do what? Give away their piano.
Yes. Wow.
You see? So all I say that to say that whatever it is that you're desiring, I always tell people, you know, are you ready for it? Do you have a space in your life for it? You know, people want love. They want romance. You know, are you ready? Are you ready to share your life with a partner? You know, are you ready to share your space with your partner? What room do you have in your life for what it is you're asking for? You know, you want to create wealth. Have you done any studying about money? Do you understand how it works? Do you know, have you at least gone and talked to a financial planner? You know, you may not have the money yet, but begin to have a conversation and interview different ones so that you'll know who you want to connect with when it's time. That's what I mean.
Wow. To be ready, be prepared. Like you said, prepare yourself to have what you want to have. We share that often with our organization as well when we talk about dream building. You know, you hear people say, I want a car, I want a Mercedes, or I want a Bentley. And it's like, well, have you test driven it? You know, you might need to drive it to even see. You might not really like how that particular model drives. You know,
That's
you need
right.
to investigate that, get and feel and have all of the senses help you bring it to pass. That is so powerful.
Absolutely. Because, go ahead.
No. You go.
Because, you know, it's what you're saying with the test driving, that's so important because what happens is it's really a shift in your consciousness, meaning, and to simplify it, just to say how you feel inside. So if you don't feel worthy of something, you might be saying you want it, but because you don't inside of you feel worthy of it, or in your mind, you're trying to figure out, well, how am I going to ever make that happen? I can't see how that can happen. You limit yourself, right? And so you don't even go and try it on. You don't even go and drive it. You don't even go and look at it. You don't even go and sit down and have a conversation about it. But if you begin to do that, you'll start to break through that insecurity and that fear that you have about it, and a confidence will start to build inside of you. When that confidence starts to build inside of you, that's when you begin to attract the things that you're desiring, or ideas come to you. You know, an idea comes, or something shifts in the way you're thinking that you would not have gotten before when you're seek or afraid to even go look or think about.
Wow, that confidence. That's a big word there, confidence. You're right. Now, obviously, you have applied these things in your life for you to accomplish, I mean, such great things. Having your own HBO special, how did that come about?
You know, that came about pretty much the way I'm describing now, which was, you know, I had a vision for my show. I knew one of the places I wanted it to get to, and I just simply started doing my show, you know. I didn't have as many characters as I have now. I wasn't as big as it is now, but I just started doing it. And, you know, wherever I would show up, wherever I was asked to perform, I just performed. I just kept doing it. Now, there were challenging times. And on any journey, there are always challenging times. There still are. You know, you get rejection, you know, you get no's. There's a lot of no's that you eat in my business. But, you know, the no's almost have to become like a pearl necklace. You know, you just keep stringing them together. And you know, just design them into something beautiful and turn them into pearls. You know, like let each one make you stronger. So with each no, I would just figure out a way to keep going. And not saying that I didn't feel down at times. Absolutely, you're human. You know, even when I say to people, oh, you know, we talk about confidence. Yeah, but none of us are, I mean, the truth be told, nobody is confident 100% of the time, all day long, every day, 365 days of the year. Give me a break. Especially if you're aspiring for anything great, right? If you're reaching outside of your comfort zone, there are going, you're going to hear the skinny branches going, you know? you know, you're getting out there on the skinny branches of life. But in the midst of that, that's where, you know, your prayer, your meditation, your yoga, your exercise, you know, your I heard you talk just now about, you know, your group, you know, your positive groups, sisterhood, support systems. That's where all of those people and things become your toolbox. They are part of your toolbox so that you can go to any one of them, put on, an inspirational tape, you know, something that lifts your spirit and reminds you. You have to do that to feed your spirit so that you can get back on track. And that's what I do continually. So, to get to that, to get to the special, to get to, you know, the films that I've done and to all the things and the dreams that I'm aspiring for now, it's the same process.
Now, I know you you had the event on September the 11th. How did that go? And tell us a little bit more about the your humanitarian work that you do as well.
Well, the event on September 11th was you know, it's always spectacular. I'm always just touched by the amount of people that come out to see the shows and the amount of repeat people, you know, people who have seen the show and now they're turning their friends onto it or they want to bring the show here or they want to bring the show there or they know certain characters and they want to see how the characters have evolved. You know, it's almost like if the show has a cult following. And so it's always wonderful. Plus, it's you know, it's my way of speaking to the world, you know. So it's my way, you know, I speak to the world through humor when I do my own work, and so it's my opportunity to make us laugh while we think about stuff, you know, so that was a great show, and the shows are always that way, because they're just always fun, and I never know what the characters are going to say, I never know who they're going to talk about, like, you know, the one who sits on the toilet bowl, Jerry Crow, and we call her a toilet bowl activist. Because, you know, when around the time when we had the inauguration, you know, one of the things she said was, "Ooh, child," and I'm telling you, I was so glad about that inauguration. And did you see Aretha? Thank you, Jesus, she had her titties covered up. You know, so I never know what she's going to say or what issue that's going on, you know, in the culture that she's going to bring up. And then in terms of my humanitarian work, you know, I've done a lot of work with prisoners, like going up, women in prison, incarcerated. And so I had done a project with Eve Ensler, and I went to Bedford Hills Correctional Facility. And it was there that I guess it was my first real time going into a maximum security prison and seeing all these women that looked like me and women who looked like people I knew. And I couldn't leave, you know, I just somehow could not leave. And so I volunteered with them for a couple of years. And one of the things I did is I started an art and spirit program where they would learn to journal. They would use journaling as a way of, you know, healing their pain as well as teaching them meditation, right? Mm-hmm. And now what I do, there are several of those women who are out, and so I mentor them independently now. Just keeping in touch with their lives. Two of them are actually going to college this year. And so that's, you know, I like to, whenever I can inspire or help somebody, you know, pick up the pieces and follow their dreams, that is what resonates most in my soul.
Yes, I mean, that's when you know you're giving back. It's so important because we know that we are blessed to be a blessing, really, and it's not about us to really make it. It's about people that we're actually going to affect on our journey as we continue to become successful. So I always tell people, you know, if you know there's something big that you are supposed to be doing, you're being selfish if you're afraid to step out on those dreams that you have been given. That That's wonderful. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we do know that the phone lines are jumping here. We have a couple of people that want to ask questions. You can dial 347-838-9278 and press 1, and you'll be able to ask the lovely Hazelle Goodman a question. Is that all right? Are you open to taking a few questions today?
Absolutely, sure.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We shall return in one moment.
Deborah Hartnett International, helping you design your future. We are business development consultants, your one-stop stores for starting or enhancing your business. Our team of professionals are among the best in the country. Our services range from establishing your corporation to developing and executing your branding strategy to website design and promotion. We even help you with establishing your business credit. Visit us today at www.deborahhartnett.com to view a full list of services or call toll-free 800-493-0339. Mention this ad and receive a 15% discount off our gold package.
Yes, we are back with the lovely Ms. Hazelle Goodman, who is the extraordinary actress and comedian. We are here. If you have any questions, please feel free to dial 347-838-9278, and we will open the lines for you today. We do have a question. I believe this is a North Carolina number coming in here. I'm going to open the lines up. Hello. Hello. How are you today? Say who you are and where you're calling from. Welcome to the show. Hello.
I'm here, but I can't hear them.
Okay, yes. I guess they must have just put their phone on mute or didn't know they pressed the button. Let's go to this other number here. I'm not certain where the 510 number is calling
That's
in
California.
From. Hello. Welcome to Wealthy Sisters. Hello. Well, I guess they pressed 1 and they didn't know it. Well,
510 is California.
Yeah. Well, we will open. We'll try one more time. Thank you for calling Wealthy Sisters. You have a question for Ms. Hazelle Goodman?
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay. All right. Looks like we're having a little technical difficulties here. Let me try one more time. Hello, are you there?
I heard a voice come through, but I didn't hear.
Yeah, I heard one as well.
There must be something technical going on.
Yes, powerful. Speaking of powerful and technical, I know earlier you had mentioned that you study metaphysics, and you talked about encouraging yourself and how you continue to build yourself up. You mind sharing other things that you do and, you know, what exactly metaphysics is and how did you actually start studying it?
Well, I think, you know, I was thinking about my spiritual practices today, and it's really, I have a medley of things that I do. It's an eclectic diet of spirituality that I have, because, you know, I grew up in the church, and I grew up, Christian, and so there's that foundation that's inside of me. So, and that's a solid foundation, and my mom was a minister, so I know God, I grew up with the teachings and all of that. And then I began to search and wanted more information, wanted to understand more. And so organizations like Unity, I don't know if you've ever heard of Unity, but they're very positive. And what they teach is they also teach, you know, again, your thoughts and so much about metaphysics to simplify it. I mean, it can be much, much more elaborate and more involved. But just on a simplistic level, the bottom line is it is a teaching of positive thinking at its core. That what it's essentially saying is that our thoughts create our reality, and that what we think about, we end up creating it because we are energetic beings. You know, we're not just skin and bone and flesh, and you know that's not all we are. We're energy, and you know it's like, for example, you know when you think of somebody and you say, "Oh, I was just thinking of you," because they just called you and you were thinking of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they're finding out, you know, what the quantum physicists are finding out is that our thoughts travel. And, you know, several films were done that really tap into this. One was What the Bleep Do We Know, which deals with this very concept I'm talking about. The other one
that
was very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it great? And then the other one that's been very popular is The Secret. you know, both in a book form and as well as a DVD. So simply, the you know, we're coming into a greater awareness that our thoughts. And then if you want to look at Scripture, you know, Scripture says, call those things that be not as though they were. You know, Jesus
right.
said, the works that I do, even greater works shall ye do. Well,
right.
I wanted to get more into the misunderstanding, you know, when he said the kingdom of heaven is within. It's not, you know, just someplace in the sky that you go to after you die. The kingdom of heaven is within. So within me is where I harbor my resentments. Within me is where I harbor anger. Within me is where I harbor jealousy. Within me is where I harbor love. So if I'm harboring, whatever I'm harboring inside of me is what I'm going to see showing up in front of me. So if I'm always looking for how people are going to be, you know, mean to me, or if I'm always looking for racism, or if I'm always looking for somebody to be attacking me, then I'm going to create it because I'm going to be coming with that vibration, right? You know, when you're
right.
when you're expecting negativity or you're expecting a fight, you go carrying a certain vibration. Well, because you're walking with that energetic frequency of negativity and fighting or you know, despair, you're sending that vibration out. It's unseen, but you're sending it out, and people are picking it up. That's when people say, you know, I don't like his vibe. I don't
right,
know, but he
right.
just had a vibe. Or somebody does something and says, you know what, I didn't know what it was about him, but I just something just didn't feel right. Well, that's what we've got to go with. There's that. That is inside, but we're not taught enough how to follow that the intuition. You know, the intuition is God in you. You know,
mm-hmm.
that Holy Spirit, the Christians, we call it Holy Spirit. That spirit in you is always feeling and guiding and directing, but we're not taught to pay attention to it. We're taught to, like, you know, calculate and look outside. And, yes, of course, you use your mind. You do use your reasoning. If you're going to make a move, you do want to talk to someone, get some facts, get the information, look at it from both sides. But then after you get all that, what I do, I put all of that down, and then I breathe. And then I speak to God. I speak to Spirit in me and
mm-hmm.
ask, what should I do now? And I'm
mm-hmm.
telling you, Deborah, it always works out in divine order.
It yes,
works
it
out better than I think. You know, sometimes you don't get the thing you thought you should have gotten, but then when you look back, what worked out was actually better than what you thought it should have been.
And timing and all of that has a lot to do with it, too.
Absolutely right.
Ready
it's a divine
for
time for everything under
yes.
the sun. Perfect example. I'm glad you mentioned it. I was thinking about that today because I said, you know what, I have to write about this on my Facebook page. You know, and I welcome anyone to be my, you know, my friend. I'm on Facebook, Hazel Goodman. You know, feel free to write to me. I'll certainly write you back, include you as a
and
friend.
She will. She will, because that's how I reach out to you.
But I, you know, in the summertime on my patio, on my terrace, I plant flowers. I love my flower pots and all of that. And I had planted something. I didn't know what it was, but it wasn't blooming. And it was like, here it is in the middle of the summer. The sweet potato vines are looking lovely. They're hanging down. The impatiens are beautiful. Everybody's doing good, and this thing is sitting there, just nothing. I see little stubs, but it's not blooming. And it was two of them in two different pots, and I attempted to pull them out. But, girl, they were in there so strong. And every day when I would be watering the other flowers, I'd be fussing at these. I'd be like, okay, you better give me some flowers quick because I'm going to dig you up. All right, well, go ahead. You're trying to be tough now. You're not coming out. I'm going to throw this pot over the ledge, and then we'll see what you're going to do. I was fussing because she wasn't giving me no flowers,
but that one of your
girl.
Characters.
Was me. That was me, girl. That was me fussing at the plant. Now, that was spiritual me fussing at the plant, okay? Well, girl, let me tell you, about a month ago, didn't these two plants start showing me who they are? They're putting out these beautiful yellow flowers that out of nowhere. Everybody else is going now because their season is over. The impatience,
mm-hmm.
the vines, everybody's going. This flower that I was trying to pull up and dig up and throw up because it wasn't doing anything is blooming beautifully.
Wow.
Why? Because it's a fall. I forget the name of the plant now, but it comes out in the fall.
In the fall time. You're trying to make me come in spring, and I'm not supposed to come to fall.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so when I was thinking about that, I said, you know, that is like our lives, our dreams, the things we want. We
mm-hmm.
have an idea, and, you know, with our fast-paced culture, you know, we got the internet, and we got email,
mm-hmm.
and we got text, and you could get, you know, you can't even hide no more. You know, everybody can get to you so quickly, right?
Right.
Everything happens so quickly. So we have in our consciousness now fast food. Everything is fast. You don't have to wait for anything, you know, right? Like my son was in Europe studying in Amsterdam this summer, And he came back with this experience because they would have the lunchtime, and this particular place, apparently the way they did it there, there wasn't any fast food. You would order, and you would have to just wait while the guy really cooked it. And so you would find other ways to communicate and to socialize and bond with the people that you were with or with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But in our culture, we kind of speed through everything. We grab everything on the run. So when we have a dream, when we have an idea, we want it right now. Mm-hmm. And then we look around and we see all the other flowers blooming, all the other people doing their thing right now. And mm-hmm. so we want ours. Well, how come this isn't blooming? And so now you want to uproot the dream and throw it out. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I need to be doing something else.
Well, God didn't want me to do it because it's hard.
It's hard. Exactly.
He must not want me to do this.
You understand? So give your little business an opportunity to grow.
Uh-huh.
You know, nurture it, water it, and go do something else in the meantime. But give your thing. Because in its season, you know, when for those of us who are Christian, when it says the vision has an appointed time,
mm-hmm.
though it tarries, wait on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's what these flowers taught me. They taught me we're not blooming right now. This isn't our time, but wait on us. Give us a minute. And sure enough, they bloomed. And so that's what I want to say, you know, is that whatever the vision is, you don't know the time. You don't know the hour when it will hit. But if you feel it in your spirit and you know without a shadow of a doubt that this is your calling, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're not just in it because you think, oh, I'm going to blow up or I'm going to make six figures, I'm going to get some money. That's another kind of vibration and that's another trip. But if you know that the thing you've been called to do, you believe in it, it feels right. When you think of it, you can't even think of doing anything else. Even if it's not paying you, you still want to be in there because you believe that it will be fruitful and multiply, then you have got to just anchor down, ask for strength, and go forth. Hmm. And that's where, when you ask me the practices I engage in, that's where my yoga comes in. You know, right now I'm sitting here, you know, I pulled over, I got my running clothes on. You know, I used to run, but now I do a lot of walking. I just started doing a practice in the morning in the park with a group of Asian people. They do this wonderful, some of it incorporates Tai Chi, but it's also some other physical work that is also a part of a healing modality for the body. So I'm very much into health and my mind-body-spirit connection. And so I'm always doing things that allow me to stay in that center and stay in that zone with that.
Wow, that's wonderful. You know, I mean, I'm taking so many notes. I wouldn't even care if no one was on the line. I am getting what I'm like. I was not in store for what, you know, you are sharing today. It's just so wonderful, this information. And I hope all of the listeners, and we do have a lot of listeners that are able to actually go to our website, wealthysisters.com, and listen to our archived episodes. So this will be available immediately following the show. And I just trust that everyone that's listening are really taking note of the things that Ms. Goodman is sharing, because she's a living example. And what I learned, you know, my mother always told me, if you want something somebody else has, you need to do what they did to get it. It's just plain and simple. And we cannot avoid that at all. And I say that to say we have, I just want to make this quick announcement. We have March 19th and 20th. That's Friday, March 19th, and Saturday, the 20th of March, coming up, the Winter Summit Conference and Expo. And this is going to be an environment that is fostering the same type of information that Ms. Hazelle Goodman is sharing. We have some powerful women that are speaking. We're dealing with the practical, with how to market your business online and make money effectively there. We've got marketing experts. We've got financial, Michelle Broussard. We've got Dr. Joelle Martin that's going to also be there. We have the awesome Melissa Dawn Johnson, who is the brand new extraordinary expert. I mean, she is powerful. She was actually on one of our earlier shows as well. And it's going to be at the Baltimore Hyatt Regency. That's March 19th, March 20th. You want to get your tickets now. You don't want to miss it. And because this, like you said, Ms. Goodman, this is going want to be a place where they can actually come and learn and get this powerful information that you were sharing with us today and being in that environment, in the energy. And when you talked about that too, well, let me share with everyone, go to thewinnersummit.com, thewinnersummit.com, and you can get more information on that show that we're all excited about having. But going back to what you were sharing, Ms. Goodman, about the energy and about how it is real, how we can think of someone and they call us. I was just having a conversation with someone, and they were sharing with me about equipment, that there's actually equipment out there that's very, very sensitive, that they can determine the body temperature in the room, and they can determine if someone's been in that room and where they've been in that room. And that's because of the energy that is left. So this is very, very real, what you're sharing with us today.
That's right.
I'm excited. I'm thoroughly excited. And I guess I better pay some bills here. So we've been talking about this. You know, anytime we talk about that mind and building there, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back. We do show that we have a few more callers that have dialed in and like to ask a question. Again, you can dial us at 347-838-9278, or if you're in the chat room and like to ask a question, you can send that as well. And our producer, Ms. Opal Mabry, will get that information to us. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like there's never enough time in the day? You have a laundry list of 20 things to do, and you still haven't done, oh yeah, the laundry. Are you at a crossroads in your life and just not certain what's your next step? Are you just overwhelmed and feel like you have lost, well, you? We are here to help. Compass Coaching is a personal development company for women. We help you find your path and bring balance to your life. Visit us today at www.mypathmylife.com. We have life coaching plans as low as $19 a month, and take our free assessment. That's www.mypathmylife.com. Every woman deserves a coach.
All right, we are back live with the lovely Hazelle Goodman. She is the awesome actress, comedian, and humanitarian extraordinaire. Ms. Goodman, I know you were sharing with us a little earlier about your characters. Tell us a little bit about them and how you actually started creating them as well.
The characters really just came about, I think, from some of my own personal life experiences. And then also from observations that I made, you know, like, for example, when I got pregnant with my son, I went up to 182 pounds, right? And I think prior to that, I might have been 82 pounds. But I was eating everything in sight. Because, I love food anyway. And so it was my binge was on, you know.
That's our one time we could do that, right?
Girl, and I think 100 of those pounds were in my nose. You know how that is. I had the black woman nose. But so anyhow, what I did experience back then, because this was 22 years ago, my son is now 22, but at that time there weren't a lot of fabulous maternity clothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I would go to look for stuff, I just felt alienated. And then after that, after I had the baby, who was only 7 pounds, so, you know, I still had all this other weight to contend with, I just couldn't find anything to wear that made me feel good about myself. And for the first time, I was a skinny woman in a big woman's body 22 mm-hmm. years ago, and realized the sense of prejudice and, you know, that, again, alienation that people who are big must feel in our society. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say something about that, and I wanted to celebrate big women. So I wrote this character, Bertha, and her motto is big as in to hell with being thin. And she was just hysterical, you know. I got this costume made. I had big boobs, big butt. You know, it was this fabulous leopard dress, and she would come out in the audience, and when she came out, music would start to play, and she'd be just throwing chocolates. Throwing chocolates at the audience, you know. Just eat chocolates, honey. If she could have thrown sandwiches, she would have done that, you know. But that was her thing. And I've been on tour, you know, I go on the road, and people often ask me to come here or to perform at this event or perform at that event or, you know, bring entertainment. And, you know, oftentimes they would want Bertha to come. And when I remember doing her someplace, I was in the Midwest performing her, and I invited women who were full figure to come up on stage. And we did a chorus, and these women just ran up on stage, and we did this chorus line kick. And so it was, what was great about her is, you know, that particular character, is her celebration of the full-figured woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of my characters. Another character I have done very often is one called Dark and Lovely, you know, because I'm dark-skinned. And so when I came up from Trinidad, you know, Black people in America, well, we were African-American now, but we were Black then. And
okay.
We were, and, you know, we just wasn't into no darkness. So, girl, they called me all kinds of names, you know, Blackie and Spooky and Midnight. These were Black kids in my neighborhood, and, you know, I lived in Bed-Stuy at the time in Brooklyn. You know, calling me these names. And so that, you know, that stayed with me over the years. And so when I started writing, I wrote a character called Dark and Lovely. And that was also liberating, because in it I talked about James Brown, and when he made his song, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, how that, you know, that freed me. That gave me a response, you know, to those who were antagonizing me.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
So the work, and then there's the work, some of it is just absurd, you know. Then there's Millie. She's coming from the Jamaican island to make it to the top. And she's got 15 jobs, and that's what she's here to do. and I love her, too, you know. So the characters range from the absurd to the very dramatic. I used to do, I don't do it as much anymore, but I used to, when we first had the disease AIDS, I used to do a character of an old woman whose son had contracted the disease, and he was dying. And so it would tell her story of her child. And that was quite beautiful and moving. That's on my HBO special. That's on mm-hmm. my DVD. And that's actually up for sale. You can go on my website. People want to order that. You can order it through my website, hazelgoodman.com.
Give us the spelling for it so we can have it.
Sure. Hazel, H as in Harry, A as in Apple, Z, E, double L E, last name Goodman, like a good man, .com. Or they can also find me under Hazel, and they can order the DVDs from the website.
Great, great. And you said you're on Facebook as well.
And I'm also on Facebook, yeah, and they can also send us a note on Facebook if they want to order it, and we can also, you know, have it sent to them that way as well.
That's awesome. Now, I noticed you said, you talked about the character Dark and Lovely, how it was therapeutic or it was freeing for you, liberating for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that being able to act out these different characters, do you find a lot of liberation in that and having that platform or maybe saying what's on your mind, or do you find that to be true?
Yes. Yeah, very much so. It's funny you should say that because I was with my partner yesterday, a business partner, and we were talking about, you know, writing a book, my book. And we were talking about, you know, what we would call it and what was the purpose of it and so on. And yeah, part of it is about that, you know, what's behind the laughter or how the laughter has, how I've used the laughter to heal me and how laughter heals. So, yeah, I have found that the characters have often provided me a way to work through stuff. And at the same time, when people respond, you know, to me after the shows or if they write to me, they will often talk about how a character has touched them. The AIDS one I did, I know I would get lots and lots of letters and, you know, people would sometimes for some guys it was a way of communicating to their parents, their mothers, you know, who they were, what their lifestyle was,
mm-hmm.
When they would send the mom the DVD. So there, you know, there's always something, or, like now we do this piece just about having a big butt. And so it's just, you know, because that's a thing in our culture here, right? And
yeah.
So, you know, and so now I have a thing where women, you know, come up on stage with me and they just show off their butts and it's phenomenal and funny.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, right. And it's just amazing, you know. So, yeah, I look to the characters, you know, to provide comic relief for things that we may be too tight or tense about.
So you're saying, like, if we can't laugh at ourselves, something is wrong, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, you may not be able to laugh, God knows, you may not always be able to laugh in the moment of the thing, but someplace, if we can find the laughter, well, you know, for example, Deborah, I remember recently, I think actually this was on The Secret. I think this woman was on The Secret. She had been diagnosed with cancer, and what they did was she and her partner, her lover, they rented movies, movies, and she just laughed, spent time, and, you know, when they went back, there was nothing going on. The cancer was gone. Now, you hear, people hear that. We hear something, they go, oh, that's absurd, you know, that's so silly, oh, that's not real, and okay, but what that shows us is that there is another way, there's another possibility.
Yes, it opens it up. I remember that. It's that, and also that movie, was it Patch Adams or what have you, that real story that Robin Williams starred in, and someone else. So, yes, laughter, like we mentioned in your introduction, it is. It does the heart, you know, marry like medicine does. So
it does,
yeah.
because if you notice, some people, when you're tense, then don't get me wrong, we all get angry at times. Nobody is laughing and joking all the time, because then, you know,
right,
you're not living in the world.
The time and place for everything.
Right. But the thing is, what you want when you are angry is to feel the anger before you spit it out on everybody. Maybe breathe a minute or journal about it if you can take a moment. Sometimes, you know, things happen in a moment and you've got to, somebody steps to you in an unconscious way, or they're about to attack you, or your person, you know, you've got to respond, you got to react right away. So we're not talking about that. But what we're saying is, don't continue to harbor it. What we tend to do is, when things go wrong, we play, you know, the mind will play that tape over and over and over and over again for you.
And we do that well.
Oh, my goodness. And you tell that story every time it comes up, you feel the anger again. Well, what you're doing is poisoning your system. That has been scientifically proven. You're poisoning your system. And the person that you're fussing about, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what happened. But you're still telling that same story. But we don't find enough time to tell the good stories. That's why when we have that uncle or that aunt who always makes us laugh, people want that person around, because they always have something funny to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do more of that. You want to do that. Mm-hmm. More laughter. More joy.
Put yourself in that position, and that's exactly what you offer in your shows as well. I mean, like I shared with you, I have to be honest, I've been on this path of, progressing here, that I haven't watched much television. But when I saw your Facebook page and I saw those videos, I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to contact this lady. She is hysterical. And you know, I know amuse means to not think. And a lot of times we want to just get away and not think. But at the same time, you make us think, which is so powerful. But we definitely are going to take some of these callers here. I have one caller calling in from 313 area code. We'd like to welcome you two wealthy sisters to the show today and see if we can get this to work right here. We were having a little technical difficulties earlier. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for calling in the Wealthy Sisters. What's your name? And say hi to Miss Hazel.
How you doing, Miss Hazel?
How are you?
I'm a first-time listener, so this is. I love your show.
Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Norman.
Norman, okay.
Chat line. What came to me when you were just talking about people living in those negative moments is not riding your bike. You're not going forward. You're not moving forward. And riding a bike takes forward motion. If you just sit there, you will fall over. And people need to understand that you have to go for it. You have to progress. And but my question for Ms. Hazel is, how hard was it for you being a black woman breaking into show business?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Norman.
The question, I think we said, well, how hard was it?
Yes.
That's an interesting question. I think it's I don't know how to answer it. It's extremely challenging, has always been. But to say how hard, I don't really have a way of answering how hard. I can just say it has been challenging. It continues to be challenging at times. What's important is I think what I can respond to is how I move through it. Because
mm-hmm.
I think we can all, you know, we all can talk about how hard it is. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I think his question is so on point. His question is great because certainly as people of color, we know how hard it is to break into anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know that story. Where I come from is the stuff I do to help me move through it. And that's,
so,
you know, that's a lot of what I described earlier, you know, my meditation, my yoga. And what I thought he also said that was so brilliant was this whole concept of moving forward. I think he's right on point with that, too. That's my motto is, you know, after, you know, whatever the setback is or whatever the down moment is, I'm always looking for, okay, what's next? What's my next forward step?
Mm-hmm.
Because even if all you do is take one step, you're still moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he's right about that, you know, moving forward. Always another step. So what's the next thing I'm going to write? Or where's the next place I'm going to perform? Or, you know, what's the next show I'm going to do? What's the next step? Because what can happen is that you can get, because of the challenges that we face as people of color, and everybody's got them, you know, you put a microphone to everybody's mouth, everybody's got a story. Somebody's got a challenge they've been through. But what the thing is how do we keep moving forward? And he's right on point with that. You got to get on the bike and take your next step. I remember reading Trump's book, Donald Trump, and talking about when he went through a really dark period on his journey and, you know, where he was, I think, practically bankrupt. But when you read it, you see that he kept taking his next step, you know, dismal, you know, nobody wasn't lending him anything, couldn't get this, couldn't get that, but he took his next step, next step. Next step. And I think that's the key, to not sit and wallow in how hard it is, but to look for what's my next step. Because the universe, Deborah, will line up with you. You know, God will always make a way, you know. Whether we're talking metaphysics and we say the universe, or we're talking, you know, Christianity or religion and we say God, but whatever we want to call our higher power, there's always a way. There is always, always a way. And if you're moving forward, like our caller just said, if you're moving forward, the universe, God, will meet you there. There's a story I heard once, and I love it. They tell of when the Jews got to the Red Sea, right? And we know the story that it parted and Moses took them through. But I heard a twist to that story that I really loved, and they said the water did not part when the Jews got to it, because you know, when we see it on TV, it's like they run up to the water and bam, there it is. And then they run through.
Right.
And then they close it right behind the Egyptians. You know, that's cute. But what I like is the one that I heard that it didn't open until the first man stepped in.
Stepped in.
That, to me, is more realistic for what we'd have to deal with. Because a lot of times we think just because we have a dream or we knock on one door, it's going to open. You know those books, Chicken Soup for the Soul?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right. I can't think of his name right now. But of course, we all know the book, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Hansen.
I remember reading
Mark
his Victor story.
Hansen. Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. I remember reading his story, and he got 475 rejections. I was amazed. White man in America, looking white in America, looking like apple pie and white bread, he had to eat 475 rejections of his book. How many of us would even deal with five?
No, we wouldn't take two. Because, no.
Your feelings
right.
would get hurt, right? After about 20, you might say, okay.
Right.
Certainly after 50, somebody's telling you, man, just give up. After 175, they're telling you, know, just throw that in. 300, they're talking about, oh, he's still trying to get that
he's
book
crazy.
Out.
Right.
Right? 399,
right.
Oh, please, ain't nobody listening to you no more.
Right.
But this man
right.
stayed on the point, and I'm sure he had a whole support system to keep him encouraged. 475 rejections he ate before that book hit the stand. And that's a white man in America. So it's Harriet Tubman, girl, and I always tell people, if Harriet Tubman could bring us out of slavery with nothing, with no shoes on her feet and nothing but a star she was following in the pitch black of night, and she didn't even have a flashlight, I don't think. Probably just a shotgun so everybody was going to turn back. What excuse
gotta
do
remember
I have?
That. Right.
I don't have an excuse. What excuse do I have at 2009, almost 2010, with everything available, what excuse do I have? What excuse does any of us really have? I don't have any excuse. So, yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it gets challenging. Yeah, I hear the no's. But I don't have a good reason to stop because Harriet Tubman did not stop. I cannot.
Wow. You said it. You said it. We really don't. We have to keep moving, keep going forward, and most importantly, we have everything right here at our fingertips
to
make it happen. You know, just that desire and knowing that if it's our vision that God has given us, then how can we fail in the first place? But no one is going to promote it like us.
That's right.
And not to expect that it's not going to come easy. This weekend I had to speak at this expo, and that was one of the final things we talked about in designing our own future is being prepared to pay the price.
That's right.
And that it's going to be a price, and it's a sacrifice, and we have to be prepared to do that. And a lot of times, like you said, we are not prepared for that because we just have not been taught how to think this way.
That's
you
right.
just haven't.
That's right.
And I'm sure that's a whole other story we can talk about, whether that was by design to
yeah.
keep the masses in line or what. Well, I do believe we have time for one more caller. We're going to open the lines here for the number, area code 321. Hello. Welcome to Wealthy Sisters. Hello. Yes, hi. Hello. I tell you, we're going to get this right. You are so powerful. That's why we're having some challenges on this here. Hello. Welcome to Wealthy Sisters.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello,
hi.
Wealthy Sisters.
Hi.
How
go ahead.
You?
Wonderful. We have about 30 seconds. You can ask a quick question.
Well, I must say, Hazel knows me. My name is Izzy, and I'm in Florida. And I know when Hazel boosted my life spirits up when I was down and down and down. She held me, she pushed me, she challenged me, and right now I have a beautiful family of a wife, three children, my own store, my own home here in Florida. So, Hazel, I love you with all my heart, and I can't believe I'm listening to you on the radio. You are an awesome, awesome human being, and I would love to go up there and see your show again, because the last time I seen it, I was crying and laughing at the same time, and you know that. So without you... Without you and your empowerment, as we sat there and cried both together, I would not be where I am today. So I love
wow.
you. You know how to reach me. And I just want to tell you, whoever's listening to this woman, she will push you, and she knows what it is to be down and out. And she always said, the next step, Papa, take the next step. And I did. And I love you, Hazel. Thank you with all my heart.
Thank you, Izzy, for calling in. Appreciate it.
You're
wow.
very welcome. I will listen
love
to you
too.
And watch
love you,
you
always.
A million times.
Thank you, my love. Thank you.
And thank you very much, young lady, for having her on the air. She is powerful. I'm afraid of her.
That's why you
it.
Did
she
what she
it.
Told you to, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I listened to every word, and boy, did she beat me good.
Well, that's
I just
wonderful.
I want to say thank you.
Thank you so much for dialing in and making the show. Wow, what a way to end. That's wonderful. And it goes a lot, Izzy, for being obedient as well. So thank you so much. And, wow, this has just been a powerful show. We were thinking we'd talk more about Hollywood and Broadway, but, man, this has just been great. I just definitely am so sad that it's ending now. And I know we had talked a little bit about having you at our conference in March, so hopefully we can make that happen as well, because we know that you obviously have an awesome story to tell. Again, your website is www.hazelle.goodman.com, and you can also be reached on Facebook as well. We want to thank you so much for being here on our show today. And
thank you. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. And we ask everyone to please remember to tune in next week where we will have none other than Dr. Joelle Martin of Triad West. She's the founder and CEO, and she is a marketing guru. She was trained on Wall Street. So once again, this has been another wonderful episode of Wealthy Sisters. We look forward to seeing you next week.
This has been another episode of Wealthy Sisters, brought to you by theprofessionalblackwoman.com, where success is inevitable. Join Deborah Hardhead, our host, next week as she interviews another powerful, positive, progressive, wealthy sister, and visit us on the web at www.wealthysisters.com. See you next time.